You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Hello, listeners everywhere, morning, noon, or night. This is The Searcher's Roadmap. I'm Rhonda Harrison, your host, and today we have Edie Stone with us. And it's not Eddie, it's Edie. I misspelled it. It's E-D-I-E Stone. And she is an amazing transpersonal counselor, and she's also an amazing shamanic EMDR journey individual that can take you on shamanic journey guides. And we're going to be talking about holistic counseling and EMDR and how important it is and how the two can be fitted together and really help with the healing of the individual who's been traumatized throughout their life. So with that, I'm going to bring Edie into the studio. Hi, Edie.
Hello. Hi.
So it's very good to have you on the show. You have so much going on, and with today being September 11th, 2015, you know, I just want to take a moment of silence for those who passed and for those who have survived this horrible tragedy. And with that, Edie, can you give our listeners a little history as to how you got into the shamanic side of psychology? I know you studied at Naropa and have done a lot of other work at CU. You've developed a lot of new treatments incorporating shamanism and counseling. And I think that the world needs to hear that there's other ways to heal besides just talk therapy.
That's right. Yes, I have a background in education from University of Colorado, experiential education, and my background at Naropa University is in transpersonal counseling psychology. Transpersonal meaning beyond the personal, sort of beyond talk therapy in some ways, and incorporating imagery and art and music and also honoring and working with altered states of consciousness, mystical experiences and things like that. So I actually started my shamanic training, which is not just, it's not to be a shaman. That's something that is an acknowledged role in a traditional culture. But there are many people who practice shamanic tools, who use the sort of the worldview stance that everything is alive and that energy is infusing through everything, and if we can work with energy, work with our minds, our intentions, our visions, our dreams, that things can shift on a lot of levels. So my specific training is to be a journey guide, meaning that I work with a client. I don't journey for a client. There are techniques in shamanism that Michael Harner pioneered and Sangdar Ingerman is a master with of journeying for someone or eventually teaching them how to journey for themselves. I don't journey for someone, and this is where shamanism crosses over with maybe some psychic healing and things like that. So I'm not on that side of the spectrum. I'm on the side of helping someone get in touch with their own spirit guides, their own inner process, developing their imaginal sense, their ability to access imagery. And imagery is often visual, but it can also be auditory, sensory, kinesthetic. So my training in that is to really help someone get into a very nice, softly altered state of consciousness and to help them stay there and navigate that. It's not unlike the training of a counselor to help someone get in touch with their feelings, get in touch with how those feelings are affecting their bodies, the integration of body, mind, and emotion. So those two things blend together very well, and as I developed my practice, the clients that came to me wanted to do both of those things. So that's kind of how they weave together.
And that's really nice how they do weave together, because they're so inner changeable, but yet work on the theta brain waves and the effects of rhythmic drumming, or different didgeridoo sounds, or chakra bowls. And you spoke of Mike Harner, and I was wondering, if you could describe the Harner method.
The Harner method is he is an anthropologist who did something that was kind of radical in those days, which was to actually engage in the ceremonies of the people that he was studying in South America.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of that, he developed a way of getting down to the bones of what it is to do a shamanic journey. Now, shamanism, the role of that shaman in a culture, can be very broad. It can be, you think of a folk healer, a medicine man or medicine woman. But just sort of narrowing that to how do we work with people to get them to get into this naturally altered state of consciousness, much like dream, it's like a dream, a lucid dream. And in fact, Robert Moss goes from one side, from dream to journey, and there's not a dividing line between those two. So Michael Harner figured out a way to simplify that and bring it to North America and now around the world to help people do that and to stop many people. And Sandra Ingerman is in that lineage and has also continued that with bringing ceremonies for the earth and working with groups energetically to help heal various situations.
So then a journey to wholeness is a training and a teaching.
That was my original training.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher is Kayla Moonwatcher. And that's what I described as my role being to be the person who's sitting next to someone who's laying down or sitting and journeying.
Mm-hmm.
And helping to facilitate their process in a very, I'm not telling them what to do. I'm suggesting things if they have questions.
I give
them a few protocols. Things in that protocol when someone is starting into an altered state and they're requesting to get connected to spirit guides. And I use spirit guides to mean anything from a power animal to an ancestor to a folk hero to God, goddess kind of figure to saints, angels, that whole spectrum. That's all available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just our language of various cultures that will put different names on those. So when someone gets into that, wants to get into that, first of all, they need to relax. And I help them with that. I do give them a guided imagery, and we can do a bit of that somewhere near the end of the show.
All right.
To do a short meditation journey. When someone is getting into that state and they start to relax, and they've set an intention for whatever the kind of healing they want or just connection they want. It's a matter of allowing the images to come, not second-guessing. It's getting the left brain out of the way for a while so the images can develop. And then it's developing a relationship. Say if an animal shows up, you want to thank that animal. You want to see if that animal needs anything from you, either at the beginning and or the end of the journey. And, you know, you just ask them, you know, if there's something that they want to show you, take you, and then you let the animal guide. You step back, and it might be an animal, it might be a human figure, it might be some kind of angel, whatever it is. If you call that in the right way, and I'll step back a little bit and say there's also some technique around this. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science, but it's ancient science. Mm-hmm. And to do a journey safely, you want to have three things. You want to call in or activate or be aware of having a kind of a bubble of energy around you, being in safe, sacred space. For some forms of journeying, that might be calling in the directions, north, south, east, west, above, below, and center. For some, that might be more in the Celtic realm that R.J. Stewart uses, a sphere of art, a sphere that goes below as well as above you, that's held by angels. And then there's a line in the middle where the energy comes and flows. It's very similar to having a bubble of energy around you if you're working with Tai Chi or Qigong. It's not unique to shamanism. It's worldwide. It's what people always do when they gather in a circle and set their prayers and intention. That creates it for a group. So when I'm leading a journey, either for a group or an individual, I call in the spirit powers of the sacred directions. I don't name those. I have a certain set of those that I'm familiar with that work for me, but I let the client feel what's coming to them, and it might be specific to a certain tradition, or it might be what it's like in the place where they were born and the aspects of nature there. Could be any number of things. I let the client have their own experience of that. So we've got sacred space. That's number one. We want to mm-hmm. call in those that love us and honor our free will, and that also have messages, healing, guidance for the intention we're setting. So the calling in of those that honor us, that love us and honor our free will, just helps everything go smoothly. It holds that space so that there's sacred space, and the people or animals or angels that are coming to us, we can trust and open up to. And the third part of that is setting an intention. So that can be to discover or explore. It can also be specifically to heal something, to get in touch with a memory, and there are things like there's a typical word that's often used in shamanism called soul retrieval, and that is a common intention in setting an intention for a journey or a piece of work. It may be more than just a simple journey. This may be also a work that involves some psychotherapy and some EMDR. In a soul retrieval, the person is finding a part of themselves that got lost or cut off sometime in their life. Often it's a part that shut down as a child if they were blamed or shamed, and they kind of had to put a certain tenderness or sensitivity away in order to survive in that family or school or culture. Sometimes it's more traumatic. Sometimes it's coming from a dysfunctional family, and a lot of things have to be put away. It's kind of like putting them up on a shelf or in a closet and then shutting those doors so that you can survive as a kid. It can be other kinds of losses. Certainly, often people losing, say, a grandparent that was their really deep source of love and acceptance. That can be a loss that needs to be retrieved. So it might be bringing back the child that was in relationship to the grandmother. Connecting with that child or adult figure, any kind of trauma, accident or, assault or anything, will leave a part of us. Now, from a psychological viewpoint, that would be called dissociation. From a shamanic viewpoint, it's soul loss. From a psychological viewpoint, that person may feel depressed, angry, kind of lost, non-functional in some ways. And those same kinds of symptoms would be symptoms of soul loss. So there's a place there where what happens to us, you can look at it from different frameworks.
And that's what's so beautiful about it, how they interconnect with each other,
just using a little different. They are different. And let me describe like how that would work. I mean, because soul loss and trauma are some of the main things that I work with. Once that person, maybe we've done some therapy to get to the point where they can say, okay, I feel strong enough now that I can go back and look at this inner child from when I was 7, say. So if I'm using psychotherapy, and particularly EMDR, and I'll just make an aside, EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. The initial use of it was with eye movement going left and right, which does set up a brainwave thing. I don't use eyes in that way because most of my clients want to have their eyes closed when they're going inside. So I use the newer technology. It's just a simple headphone or two buzzers, which you hold in your hands, like holding two cell phones. And it sets up a left-right rhythm. And the client gets to pick the speed of that and the intensity of the sound. So if I'm using EMDR, we will go in with some bilateral stimulation, that left-right technology. And before we've done that, we will have set up a resource that I will call sacred space or safe space, a comfort zone, where that person has learned that they can go and feel completely safe, in touch with their body, in touch with their feelings, and they can return to that point anytime. Then when we get set to go back and check in with this child part, they may have another piece, which this is another place where shamanism and I've woven EMDR and shamanism together, is that in shamanism, you don't have to go in there alone to find that soul part. You can bring along, or you can be assisted or guided by, and just let them do the work, your spirit guides. You can have a power animal that says, come back with me. And, you know, the child can get on its back and you can all come back to the present time. In EMDR, there was a teacher a few years ago, Laura Parnell, who developed the idea of really having a resource of a team that the person who's dealing with the trauma or the loss has a team of supporters. And those supporters can be a nurturing figure, a protective figure, sometimes a person who can speak truth to power. There can be other figure, healer, teacher. And when I learned about Laura Parnell's technique with EMDR, my mentor in the EMDR world said to me, "And Edie, those can be spirit guides." And I went, "Oh, ka-ching." So in either case, you've got a safe space that you're starting from, that you can come back to at any time, and you've got a team, you've got a strong power figure or protective figure, power animal, angel. You've got a nurturing figure, which is often more feminine, could be a grandmother figure, it could be a mother bear, it could be, again, sometimes it's Mother Mary. It can be anything that resonates with that client. So we've got a safe space that we're starting from. We've got a team. And when we go back to help that inner seven-year-old, there's also the adult self of the client present to reflect to that seven-year-old, you know, you were hurt. I'm here to help you. If your feelings were okay, you had to maybe stuff your feelings. Is there anything you want to share? And maybe let that little kid cry. Let them know that it wasn't their fault. Sometimes kids will take on things like kids will blame themselves for their parents' divorce. You know, telling that child there was nothing you could do. That was about mommy and daddy. They may have triangulated you in the sense. You know, they may have both wanted you on their side. But that's not your fault. You're just a little kid. I'm here to help you. And you can cry as much as you want, and you can stamp your feet and have a tantrum if you want. And then we're going to go back, and I'm going to bring you to my safe space. And you get the child out of that scene, whatever that loss or trauma or difficulty or dysfunction was that caused them to split off, to shut down parts of themselves, to develop parts that are kind of maybe a kind of a false self or a sort of more egoic-based kind of structure. They needed to do that for survival. There's no blame in that. You get them out of that scene. Maybe you set up a playground. Maybe you get some coloring books and have them, you know, use finger paints, whatever they can do in your imagination. And maybe you want to do that with yourself afterwards, too. But in your imagination, let them have some play space. Let them feel comforted. Hold them. Holding your seven-year-old in your arms like you would a little kid. In your imagination. And that feels physical. It feels real. Because you're in this altered state. You're in a state where either you've got the bilateral stimulation, or for some people, a drum. I don't use drum much. I use rattles more. Or just having deepened into that space, which is what I do with individuals journeying. You can go back and forth to that beautiful, safe, sacred space, and the child can stay there. You can then go back and either confront or grieve or reconnect in whatever way you need to the adults in that situation that were maybe consciously or unconsciously hurting the child in some way, or neglecting their feelings because they were overwhelmed when, you know, grandma died, or whatever the situation was. It can be from a normal childhood loss. It can be from bullying. It can be all the way up to horrible abuse. Any of those things can be helped with EMDR or with shamanic soul retrieval. And they vary a little bit on the technique and who uses what, but the outcome are very similar. So you do get a chance to stand up as an adult with your team behind you and say, "That was not okay," or "I just want you to leave my life," you know, or I miss you so much. I need to, you know. We need to talk about this thing and then reconcile. All kinds of things can happen in that further you know, you standing up for yourself. And then once you get back, the client feels so much better. And there are things that they need to do to help integrate this and carry it forward into the future. But in both cases, even though you can't change history, you can change your reaction to your memories. And you're creating a new neural net. You've got an old neural net that's filled with trauma or loss or shutting down. And you create a new one where you're reconnected, where your senses are more open, where you take time out once a week to do finger paint or something, you know, for a while. And things change in your outer life when you do that. It affects your whole sense of yourself. It can help physical things, depending on what the situation is and where the hurt was. But it also puts you on a different path in the outer world as well.
And I think, you know, people get more out of it when they how would I put it? Something good in there, you know, as a standpoint versus just doing it and trudging through it, you know, and not finding a lot of joy in the same space, you know, or lightness, you know, however they experience it. Because I think that that's what's really important is that you do make it a little when I got clean and sober 25 years ago, they set me up to have I made a list of 100 things that I would do rather than have a drink.
Great,
you know, paint my fingernails, take a hot bath,
dance,
go for a walk, go to the botanical gardens, you know, that type of thing where, you know, or I would reward myself on my way home from my psychological therapy, you know, where I would get ice cream on the way home, like a little kid get ice cream after a doctor's appointment. You know, and just different things to soothe myself within myself instead of depending on other things to make me okay.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's amazing how, you know, these techniques have been around for so long, but yet we're always looking for a new twist on something. And actually, it's the more ancient ceremony, rituals, that type of thing, in my experience, that has gotten me more grounded, and the EMDR and the tapping, so that, you know, you do heal and you do move forward. And for those of you who are suffering out there, don't hesitate to get a hold of Edie. She's an amazing shamanic journey person, and her and I've studied together, Gestalt and other things, you know, and she's amazing in what she does. She has a lot of offerings, a lot of ways to heal from a lot of different cultures. And with that, can you let people know what you're doing today and next week and the different, you know, things you're doing for the new moon and the full moon and how to get a hold of the website?
Tonight I'm having at my office in Boulder, Colorado, an introduction to Peruvian shamanism. And because it's 9/11, I'm adding a peace ceremony to that. So I do those intros relatively often. And in the peace ceremony tonight, one of the things that we'll do is to open up that ceremonial space, to create that sacred space, which you do in circle. You call in this case, certain aspects of powers of nature around the circle. And I have a central mesa, a floral altar, that helps bring everything together. It's the central focus. And it'll be spontaneous, but what I'm anticipating doing is having people share if there's any grief they have up or any unresolved conflicts that they have, working on a personal level. And then I'll have some stones that we can put whatever you want to release into a bowl of water. Little tiny stones, you can, you know, little gravel stones, little black ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they need to bring into their life will be a light-colored small stone that they get to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're releasing and receiving. That's similar to many new moon kind of ceremonies. And we're in the new moon energy right now. So the we'll also do prayers for the earth in the same way. If there's something that someone really needs to grieve and let go of and flow into that stone and release it into the water, there'll be an opportunity to express that. And also take a stone with what kind of step forward they want to commit to bringing peace or working for the environment or of justice, whatever peace and healing that they can step into, take one step forward into, and they can take that stone to symbolize that. So that's all working with the power of a circle of people together that amps up the energy. And with candlelight, it kind of brings out that old sense we have of sitting around a fire, which is where shamanism began. And the imagery, having some sacred objects on a cloth, that all activates the right brain imagery sense, and it gives us a little bit of that dream world feeling. So that's how ceremony works. You always, once it's done, you want to acknowledge everything that's happened, prayers, anything, and then we close it by closing and honoring the powers of the directions. So that's what's happening tonight. And next weekend, one of my friends in the Pachacuti Mesa tradition is doing a hike up to Shambhala, starting from Shambhala, which is a Buddhist retreat center up above Fort Collins in Colorado. And we do, we make little stone cairns. We do earth offerings. And those are kind of like acknowledging or activating an acupuncture point. When you create a stone cairn with intention and do ceremony around it, and particularly if you come back and activate it again over a period of years, that helps to add a certain kind of healing quality to the earth energy grid. So it's a way of giving back to the earth, connecting sky, connecting, bringing in all the light energy and bringing it in to help heal the heart of the earth.
Very nice. And for everyone who isn't sure where Shambhala Mountain Center is, it's just 13 miles outside of Red Feather Lakes, Colorado, where I live. And
yes,
it's about an hour drive outside of Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beautiful area, and it is definitely worth coming to see. And to be in the temple and to be doing these earth offerings during this time. I mean, it is so amazing. I mean, I'll be doing ceremony next Wednesday on my property because I have to remove about 50 trees. So I'm doing ceremony and then donating all the wood to a wood ministry for individuals who can't afford to heat their homes in the winter.
Beautiful.
And so if any of you have wood to donate, you know, check with your local churches and your local places because they are taking a lot of wood this year because they're expecting it to be quite cold and that it's going to be fairly costly. And for those that have money limits on what they can do, this is a way to give back to the earth. If you have to take something out,
mm-hmm.
you know, blessing it and giving it back to the community is a wonderful way to turn that energy around.
Oh, that's beautiful, yes. And I'm sure you're going to pray to the trees and explain what's happening, and that they will be honored, and that they're they will be of service.
Yes.
So that kind of communication, shamanism is about going out in nature and talking to trees.
Right. And I've talked
people
to
have always
trees.
Done that. You know? And you know, when you stand next to a tree, if you can ground yourself, and I'm speaking to the audience and everyone, Rhonda and myself, I'm grounding myself right now. If you bring your awareness to your feet while you're standing on the ground next to the tree, and allow yourself to feel like a tree growing roots, so that you imagine that you're connected to the earth, and those roots grow down deeper into the earth in your sacred imagination. Then if you feel what we're receiving from the earth, there's electromagnetic current flowing. We're receiving on a heart level, we're receiving heart energy and loving sustenance from the earth. We're receiving all of the food from the earth. If you open up your heart to what you're receiving and let that flow up through you, and then feel the crown of your head and kind of open up on the top of your head, your crown chakra, and let in the light. You can do this by yourself wherever you are. You can do this in an apartment in New York City, but if you happen to be outside, it's nice to do it next to a tree. You feel like a tree. You're bringing up energy from the earth. You're opening and bringing in light energy from the sky. Those can start to circulate in your body. If you do that and you do it next to a tree, you can, from that state of awareness, touch the tree or listen to the tree and form a relationship with that tree. And I did this one time. It was in the middle of a shamanic workshop that my friend Frank Owen McEwen was teaching. And he said, let's go up to Chautauqua Park and everyone find a tree. And I connected with a tree. And it was a time when there was a wildfire burning south of Denver, in the mountains south of Denver. And what I got from that tree was fear, because it could sense the smoke. And so I just offered my heart and awareness and kind of imagined, you know, the planes coming in with the slurry bombers and settling that fire down. But everything that's alive is a sentient being on some level. So the trees feel the threat of smoke. So to explain to a tree or to the nature spirits that are in that forest where you are, that you're sad about this, but that you will turn it over to the greater good, makes the whole process easier for your heart and mind. And also there's some effect on the aliveness of nature in that place, that it can be honored. One of the fundamental principles of shamanism, and it's really articulated beautifully in the Andes, with a concept called Aini, A-Y-N-I. That is the sense of sacred reciprocity. Of if you're taking, you need to give. If you're receiving, you can take in easier. And if you're also giving. And in the Andes, they'll offer their prayers through their breath, through coca leaves. They'll always, whenever they're going anywhere, they'll grab some leaves and blow into them and offer prayers to the mountain spirits or to the tree spirits or the or to the ancestors if they're in a sacred site, before they do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the ceremonies in the Andes are individual or group offerings to heighten that, to make us all more conscious of that, to say it out loud, to say it as a group, to offer prayers and fire and offerings of various kinds. And so that sense of sacred reciprocity is fundamental to a shift in consciousness if you're involved in anything that's spiritually connected with the earth. We are in relationship to the earth, to nature. And for some of the people here, we're not as affected so much by the tragedies of 9/11 in New York and around the East, but we're massively affected by what's happening to the earth and the fires and the floods and the Anas River and all of those things. You know, I'm starting to cry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of grief there, you know.
And there's a lot of losses. We're in relation with all these, what you would just, some people would call just trees or rocks or, you know, earth plant beings that are being destroyed. And actually, you know, it does affect us on a larger level.
Mm-hmm. And the tragedies of 9/11 also affected the earth and everyone worldwide. We're all connected. And so there's still wounds of that that have somewhat healed, and there's some wounds that are still very, very tender.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I'd like to do is to do a little guided meditation. I'm not going to go into trauma work on
no.
a radio show. But the part that I described earlier that's common to both the kind of shamanic work that I do, which is grounding and going to a sacred space to begin with, and that's what I'll do in a few moments, and that sense of having a safe space that you've created and worked with in EMDR as the starting place, which is can be anything that person needs as a comfort zone. It can be a beautiful place in nature, but it could also be a fairy tale castle. It could be their grandmother and a rocking chair, you know, wherever they need to come back to feel whole again if they've gone to some place of healing trauma. So it's the safe, sacred, beautiful space that I want to work with from the shamanic viewpoint. And this connection that we have with the earth, and I wasn't planning to talk about roots and standing next to a tree, but when I did that, I realized, okay, the way I help someone go into a journey is they're either sitting or lying down. Don't do this if you're driving a car right now, please. But what I'll do is I'll have everybody turn inwards, and first of all, you can be kind of finding what is that beautiful place. Often it's a place in nature, but it can be your backyard, or it can be a temple or chapel or church from any religion. That can be a beautiful place. What you need to do will be, and I'll describe it and then we'll do it, is find a place to sit or lie down in your imagination in that place and feel how the earth holds you. Feel how the earth is nourishing you, sustaining you, loving you, protecting you. And then let your roots grow, from any place you can imagine lying down or sitting. And then just really take in the beauty of that space. And then I'll bring you back. So you're already halfway there just from my describing it. I've got some wind chimes here. They're tuned to Harry Parch's tones, great innovator of folk music. And I'll play these. And are we ready? Is there anything else that you need to add, or should we just jump into this?
I think we just jump into it.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So I'll start the chime. And I'll just keep that going. It's wind chimes. It's beautiful. So take a deep breath, everyone. Take an in-breath. And then open your mouth and take an out-breath. It really helps if you can hear your own out-breath, relaxing your jaw, relaxing your tongue. Let go of any cares you have of the day. And allow yourself to be in a beautiful, safe, sacred space. Either a place you know well in nature or a sacred site, or a place which is coming to you in your sacred imagination. And then find a place to sit or lie down. Really let yourself relax. Take a couple of more deep breaths, breathing in. And with the out breath, allowing yourself to hear your own out breath. Then from that place where you're sitting or lying down, feel the connection to the earth, the loving, healing, nourishing energy of the earth. Earth is always there for you. Allow that energy, allow yourself to drop down roots, to grow roots, thick, strong, healthy roots. And then allow that healing energy of the earth to come up through those roots, flow to your body, nourishing, healing, loving energy. Allow that to flow through your body. Allow it to expand into the energy field around your body. Make that intention, whether you feel it or not, it's expanding around you. And just take a few moments to allow yourself to receive the peace, the beauty, the loving energy that comes from the sky, that comes from nature, from the sacred site that you're in. Take in whatever beauty, joy, love, and light that are in that space. And as you're enjoying that, it can be helpful to, in the future, be able to integrate this space and remember it by gently crossing your arms and tapping your arms, or crossing your arms and tapping your legs or your knees. Just tap, 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 a little gentle tapping. Help you remember and integrate this space. And then thank the earth for all she gives you. gradually bring those roots back up into your body, knowing that you can return to this beautiful sacred space in your imagination anytime. Breathe in again the light, the quality of the air, the beauty, the energy around you from nature or that sacred site. Know that with every breath, you can return to this flow of beautiful light energy and bring that in. That those two streams of energy, the earth energy and the light energy, are available to you whenever you need. So, having given thanks, having offered our gratitude, then simply come back, take in a few deeper breaths, a little faster breath this time, just breathing in, maybe making a sound, moving gently, stretching, coming fully back into your body. Again, I want to use grounding. I want to say, if you're sitting, have your feet on the floor again and feel your feet here in this reality. Open your eyes if they're not open already yet, and notice exactly what's around you. Notice the quality of light in the room. Notice the objects around you. Come back fully so that you feel like you're in your regular, normal, three-dimensional, normal self. And just take a moment to be there. I'm going to use a little bit of a rattle to formally close that. Okay. So we are now back. I'm talking to Rhonda and to everyone on this program. And since we don't have a call-in or anything, I think maybe you could, maybe Rhonda, you could share just a little bit about what you have experienced with that.
Well, it's just making me really grounded with the trees that I am giving away and that I am talking to and blessing. But I also see that it's a gift of a way to increase community in a small village where I live. And it literally is a village. There's one street in town that has like a little super grocery store, but it only has the basics type thing. You know, the biggest store in Red Feathers is Ace Hardware. And it's just amazing to see how community comes together. Made me really appreciate, you know, in the last couple of years I've been really ill, and I'm finally making my way through my own shamanic journey of taking my life back. And
good for you, that's great.
You know, and it's just so intense, but yet so real. The way I explained it to my mom the other day, I said, I feel like I'm on a spiritual psychedelic high. I said, everything is so right there, you know, and so tangible that so I've never seen it that tangible, you know, before. And it's due to, you know, what I call taking the scales off your eyes or peeling an onion in your emotional part. And a lot of it is from doing the work, doing spiritual, emotional, mental, you know, physical, and doing all four and incorporating the whole body. That's why it's holistic health, not, you know, some other form of health. And through doing that, you know, I've healed immensely through different people, you know, that I've interviewed and through today's journey. And, you know, and I'm just in such awe of it. And then this year I realized it had been 2 years that I'd been working on my medicine wheel, and now it's together. And 2 years ago today, I was in the hospital with AFib, with my heart beating at 300 beats a minute.
Wow.
And I've had heart surgery, broke my back. I mean, I've gone through a lot of stuff in the last 2 years.
To what's called the shamanic death and dismemberment, which is...
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what I've done.
A new kind of rebirth,
And, you know, my body is working amazingly. I'm not walking with a walker. I'm not walking with a cane. I'm able to walk down to my medicine wheel every day, four times a day. it's about a quarter mile, you know, round trip type thing at 9,200 feet. And they told me, you know, a year ago that I'd probably never go home again, mm-hmm. you know, and to be back home, you know, is amazing.
Yeah.
And they have to make the decision to take some of the trees out, but yet after the fire scare we had just a half ago,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but bear traffic mm-hmm. where it was a mile from my house, it was like, you know, you guys are really going to have to go. I've got to quit being so pretentious here so that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't have the fire eating my house up. Because if you're not mitigated, they won't even bother to try to save your home.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
If
they can't risk themselves to do that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, that is so wonderful, and you're using all different kinds of healing. You're using psychotherapy, and you're using mm-hmm. shamanism and ritual and physical, you know, I'm sure you've had plenty of PT.
There's
one thing I want to mention before we close that I didn't manage to weave into the conversation before we did our meditation, but this is a significant piece.
Mm-hmm.
There is a protocol in the EMDR field, which is called induced after-death communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a new therapy for healing grief and trauma. It was developed by a man named Alan Botkin, A-L-L-A-N-B-O-T-K-I-N, working with vets in a vet clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing EMDR with them, which is an approved trauma treatment. And he would get guys who, when they got to a place of just sobbing and letting their feelings out, letting, you know, undefended grief, he would get them to that place. They'd come back. This would be on the EMDR, on the bilateral stimulation. He'd come back. There'd be a moment of silence. He would turn off the bilateral stimulation, and they would start to go into a state where they were communicating with their lost loved ones, in this
mm-hmm.
case with their buddies. It happened to him, to the therapist. It happened again. He spoke to a colleague. They said, well, this is kind of weird. It started happening to her, and it has become a whole protocol. So his whole career is now focused on helping people grieve and move beyond it. It's not guaranteed that one of your loved ones is going to show up and talk to you and give you information you didn't know, but that has happened on a fairly regular basis. And even if they don't, you've got a lot of healing that you that have happened. So I will send you the link to this, and you can add it to your list of things. But again, it's induced after-death communication by Alan Botkin, B-O-T-K-I-N, and that you can Google that, and I'll send you the link.
Well, thank you very much, and this has been an amazing show. I'm really glad that we've connected again on a whole nother level than the last time we were together.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give the listeners your contact information one more time?
Sure. My name is Edie Stone, and that's spelled E-D-I-E-S-T-O-N-E. I have a website. I have a very antique website, ediestone.com, which will soon magically become a WordPress website. And I also have shamanstone.org, S-H-A-M-A-N-S-T-O-N-E.org, that has events, shamanic events. And the best way to get in touch with me, I think, is the reply to E-D-R-E-P-L-Y, the number 2, E-D-I-E, @gmail.com.
Okay, well, listeners, we are done for another day. I'm going to pump a little thing out here. There's a festival and magic, music and magic in the mountains in Florescent on the 19th of September. I will be one of the featured healers and workshop leaders. I'll also be carrying my essential oils. It'll be from 10 to 8 in Florescent at Sacred Earth Foundation on Patty Turner's land.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're really looking forward to a lot of people. So go to Sacred Earth www.thedarkmind.org, and you'll find them the event sheet and all the different people who will be attending and doing healings and doing workshops and doing music. And we would love to see all of you there. The tickets are $30 for the day as an entry fee for all the music and everything else. And then each individual healer and vendor will have their own price ranges. And we'd love to see all of you there. And if you have anything that you would like to communicate with me about, you can reach me, Rhonda Harrison, on Facebook, or Ceremony and Healing for the Individual and the Land, or Shawls of Love and Hugs. That's the other thing. I'll be receiving shawls from people who want to donate shawls that go to my program that are given to people who are in the hospital, dying, have sick children, anything like that. So please come out on the 19th of September to Florescent, Colorado, and it's music and magic in the mountains. And with that, we're done for today, but it's been glorious having you here today, Edie, and
thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk again, Edie, and listeners, check in next week. I have Pat Azerton and Peter Kelly, and they'll both be doing different types of readings and that type of stuff on Thursday and Friday of next week. May you have a glorious week, and may you all do whatever's in your best, highest good. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.